May I just put a P.S. in here concerning the offering this morning? Gene, what was that? Was that Pay and Save? Those different tickets you were talking about? Pay and Save? How many know about these Pay and Save coupons that they save and they get together, they win $25,000 or something? How many know about this type of thing? Well, I know very little about it, but my wife had an idea, and she said, you know, the mathematical probability in a city of this size of winning is really small. Really small. I don't know how many there are or anything like that, how many winners there are, but she had an idea. If the people wanted to all pool those in a local box in the chapel with 2,500 people, we might find the combinations needed and put another $25,000 into the church. So I tell you what, if it's legal, I think it is. I don't know any reason why it isn't, do you? Wife says it's legal. If it isn't, lawyers, you tell me. So I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put very small, just a little tiny box of some sort out there. And if you want to be a blessing to the church and say, well, you know, I always throw mine away anyway. I never figure out, you know, the chance of winning. I'm just going to put it here. And let us collect those and see if we can put together a combination and put it in the church. And we might do something with it. Just an idea.
And before you get started, I just want to encourage you who are having a difficult time musically. I don't want you to forget the vision that the Lord gave where we saw an angel dispatched. A singing angel dispatched to every single member in this body, and how that those angels were a little bit frustrated because we wouldn't allow them to manifest themselves through us. And so you've got an angel standing there by you, and so don't look to your own voice, look to Jesus. I just want to tell you that as an encouragement, and I tell you, my singing angel has helped me and blessed me so much, because I'm one of you who can't carry a tune, but this angel comes and, oh, it's such a blessing. And so know that your angel is assigned to you as well. Hallelujah.
Well, someone is coming forth to minister in song just before the Word of God. We have time for that. I have a short message this morning. You know, that year after year, I have constantly been hearing about splits in churches. I'm constantly getting word carried to me about churches in big numbers, 200 and 300, you know, and at a time, and being split. The devil tried to split this place wide open some time back. And there were a few that, you know, that would not heal and did leave. But thank God that you heard what the Word of God said, did not listen to the devil. And at a time when you didn't know what you know now about demonic actions, and I promised you it was demonic, but I'm sure a lot of people did not know what that really meant. But now I don't think there's anybody doubting it. And I thank God that He's held us together, and He's tightened us. He's tightened our ranks. So in the future, when the devil roars again, God's people won't be tossed from the judgment. I am totally amazed as I see how pastors and publications, national publications even, are so freely taking scuttlebutt and even printing it and putting it out. And there was a national magazine just recently that printed something about the chapel. Not true at all. Just heard some person out there in a bad demonic state, took it as it was, published it. If they knew the truth, it would come out just the opposite. And let us be careful that we don't become victims of that and ourselves pass on things we hear but don't know. Because the same demon is out there trying to put into your ear things about certain ones, and you can fall prey to that and be just like they would toward us. And unless you know for firsthand and have a reason to say so, don't make a judgment on it. Don't make a judgment. A national filthy magazine just published about Joey Falwell and his drinking and sexual relations with his mother and all this kind of garbage. You know, see, I don't believe a word of that. No better, especially coming from a source like that. There was another source over in France, a magazine published. They took a movie star and put her head on the body of a big obese woman like this, and to allege to people that she is now this big. See, this is what the devil is doing. Anything and everything they can to discredit. And we need to be careful of our hearts, and we need to pray for God's people worldwide, and we need to stick together. So if the enemy hits with another onslaught, you don't, oh, is it true? What's happened? You need to stand together. Don't panic. Watch the fruits. See what's happening. I've already heard that churches out here trying to build some big thing uphill. Churches have already, and our lawyer here is aware of it, is, and they'll have, you know, they have, one of them has, you know, they're giving out all this information. There isn't, I didn't find anything true in the whole evening. Interesting, not a thing true in the whole night. All taken from scuttlebutt. But God's people are going to hold together and work together. Amen. A P.S., Brother Russell thought I should mention, and bring in these coupons, that not Washington State lottery things, because that's gambling. Although somebody said Safeway coupons too, or could be brought in. So if you want to bring those in, you can do that as well. Let's do it, and let's take heed to what Lanny said this morning. You know, some of these garage sales and various things might bring in a lot that will help push us over the hump and be a real blessing and real help. Let's don't waste the Lord's money. One more thing. You know, the scripture talks about putting, he talked about Israel back at a time when they weren't walking right. And he says, you are putting money into pockets with holes. And you know, if you had a pocket with big holes, you wouldn't be sticking your bills in there and your big money in there. And you lose it if you do. And when God's people don't walk with God, you know what they do? They put money into pockets with holes. They have to spend money they would never spend because God's blessing isn't on them. Things go wrong otherwise. They have problems. They're having to hire, you know, attorneys for things they wouldn't have to, and bail themselves out of situations they wouldn't have to, and they're not operating right, not taking care of the house right. God's not protecting the land. They are spending on things that are for the flesh, that give no profit for God, that they wouldn't otherwise if their minds were on the Lord and they were interested in things of God. And a lot of that which comes in is just being lost out because God isn't blessing them and taking care of it. We need to be careful that we are in the right place before the Lord, and that we're careful, good stewards of God's money. And then God will be pleased with us, and He'll bless us and our house, and we'll go on with God, because the devil is trying to work in those areas too. There's not an area He doesn't leave untouched. Would you stand while the ministry and song is going forth? And while she's bringing this, would you worship the Lord? Going to be His bride. Praise the Lord. It's going to be wonderful over there. Oh, Heavenly Father, we ask Your blessing now upon Thy word. Cause it to live in our hearts. Expand the revelations in our minds. Cause Your people to understand this book of revealings and unveilings. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that every heart and mind will be attentive to the reading and preaching of Thy word, Lord, for this next half hour. In the name of Jesus, I pray we'll give You our attention, and we'll take this word and we'll apply it to our hearts, and we'll see what applications are here for our lives. And we'll take this knowledge, oh God, and put it with other knowledge that we have, and build our faith and our love for You and our appreciation for You and our praise for You. And we'll be in love with You, and we'll work for You, and we'll recognize this at the end of the age, and we'll witness for You. Help Your people, Lord. Bless and anoint Thy servant that brings forth this word. Anoint, O God, to my heart in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Revelation, chapter 5. If you want to turn there. Golden nuggets from the book of Revealings, the fifth of a series. Going through the book of Revelation, preaching in a general scope rather than taking it verse by verse exegetically. Revelation chapter 5. We've already talked about this. Just a little bit more about it before we go on to chapter 6. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" Now Christ, our kinsman redeemer, takes the redeemed mortgage scroll in his hands, having been given it by the Father on the throne, and he breaks the first wax seal, and he unrolls it to the, up to the place of the second wax seal. This wax seal that was sealed with God's own signet ring of authority. And in doing so, he releases its symbolism for all to see. We now read the future tribulations and judgments upon mankind. Satan tries the remnant of the woman's seed. God tries the devil's kingdom in retaliation. Christ not only reveals the hidden consequences of man's sins, but he, by releasing mortgaged saints from the grasp of the devil by the blood of his cross, releases God's judgment upon Satan's disciples. What I mean by that, by the fact that he releases souls under the mortgage of the devil, who Adam mortgaged mankind to, whose names are on the backside of the scroll, having released them into God's presence, he now has propriety to judge others, because if these can make it, these could have made it. And he, having completed taking out his elect bride, now allows Satan's pent-up wrath to be dispensed for his allotted time. I'm glad that God controls the time that Satan has. Now, the first four seals, which we see in chapter 6, each reveal a writer. I hope you're reading ahead of me in this book like I asked you to, so you're familiar with the verses. The first four seals each reveal a writer being sent forth by one of the four living creatures. Pardon me a minute, let me look ahead here. who gives their commands with the voice of authority, as thunder speaking from the heavens. Each rider is being carried by another power, symbolized as horses, to do evil. We have the name of each rider, but we don't have the name of the horses. But the horses are another power that takes these riders. And so we know who the horses represent. As horses give man power and ability to go and make war, so these horses represent the devil's power. In Revelation 19, the Son of Man rides on God's power. In the symbology of the ancient world, a white steed stood for conquest. When a victor triumphantly entered a newly conquered kingdom, he invariably rode a white steed. Now it is allowed for the Antichrist to conquer. In chapter 19, after God's wrath, the devil's wrath on the saints and God's wrath on the wicked, the Son of Man is allowed to conquer. Now the rider on this conquering steed has a war bow to pierce the souls of saints with tribulation and to kill their bodies, releasing their tortured souls to God's paradise in the third heaven. In chapter 19, the writer has a sharp sword of truth coming from his mouth, two-edged, cutting both ways, making both defensive and offensive warfare against the devil's lies. Here the writer is Antichrist. Later the writer is Christ, meaning, as Mary Ellen sings, "We win." The Antichrist is wearing a victor's wreath, in the Greek, But although the arena is full of shouts of acclamation for this pseudo man of peace, his wreath of garlands will wither in exactly 42 months. Whereas Christ's head has a golden diadem that will not even tarnish. The words are different in the Greek. So ride hard to bring peace to a nuclear-threatened world, you peace-marching charlatan. Go ahead and dismantle the weapons of all nations. Then take over the peacekeeping nuclear force. Tell all the world, says, who shall make war with him? Revelation 13:4. We are right on the threshold of that today. Your time is short, O roaring lion, and your fiery judgment is near. You can't touch the bride, you accuser of the brethren, for God has snatched them up and they're already safe on the other shore in the realms of glory. And God will hide his virgins from you till the end. Revelation 12:17. Go ahead, kill the tents the souls of the redeemed live in. You only release them from misery to the gates of glory. Revelation 11:12. Go ahead, subdue kingdoms, blaspheme God, control the world. God will soon deal with you in his wrath. Revelation 19:20. Go ahead, glorify the harlot church. Your internationalist petty kings will burn it to the ground. Revelation 17:16. Reading now chapter 6, verses 3 through 8. And when he had opened the second seal, I'll read verse 2. And when I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast, that living creature, cherubim, say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand, and heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, that's over to them, that is the four riders, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And what follows this world king set up to end all wars? What follows this Antichrist, who has been initiated for the great purpose of keeping nuclear war from the world and bring peace? What follows him? A red horse. A fiery red horse whose rider takes peace from the earth. Did not the godly prophet Daniel prophesy of him? In the book of Daniel, chapter 8, verses 23 to 25, here it is, listen, of the Antichrist. And in the latter time of their kingdom, that is the kingdom of these various world governments that he's mentioning, when the transgressors are come to the fall, and they're headed that way, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Satan shall give him his seat and his authority and great power, the book of Revelation says. And he shall destroy wonderfully, meaning greatly, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people, those that are still left here. And through his policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, that's Christ, but he shall be broken without hand. And did not the beloved Paul prophesy, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them and they shall not escape. The world's leaders are blind men who walk in darkness. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark a warning at the enemy. They know not. They have forsaken the light of life, the truth, and the way. Each is a god unto himself, and men are their own gods. But soon the heaven shall split with a great sound of a trumpet, and light shall enter the world, and light in every man. Help is not far away. 7 years. 3.5 years for Satan remain. That is in this time hill. And 3.5 years for God. And then 1,000 years of true peace, ruled by the Prince of Peace. I'm going to tell you, my friend, there will never be peace in this world until the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, sets up his kingdom. The devil will not allow it to be otherwise. And now you see why the liberals are the peace marchers and not the conservatives. Why the liberals want to dismantle. While they have had this big the day after on the television, they want to scare everybody in the United States so silly they will all dismantle our weapons. So Russia, now can you imagine that if we dismantle ours, they will dismantle theirs? It has never been so with them. President Kennedy had McNamara cut our military 1/3 as a gesture toward peace. They never cut in that period. They built. He stopped all nuclear testing for 2 years as a gesture towards peace. They built and worked mightily in that period. And at the end of it, tested more megatonnage in 1 day than we had in our entire history. Now, some of you political people out here, and you know, really, Christians only have one king, that's Jesus. And if this hits you between the eyeballs, well, just take it. And we just trust you haven't bought any fruit and vegetables with you, or nothing harder than that. But I'm going to hear the truth. I'm not going to whitewash either the two black men, and I don't mean black in color, or skin color. But if you ask the average American, I think I'm going to show you the depths of the brainwash of the liberal media. If you go out and ask 1,000 people at random, what kind of president was Nixon? They'll say, he was a louse. So what was Jack Kennedy? They say, he was a great president. The truth of the matter, now I can't say it was just the opposite, but the truth of the matter is, President Kennedy, in my judgment, was far worse than any president we've ever had in my day since Woodrow Wilson, and did more damage to this nation than any other president that I know of, including Roosevelt, and was, including Carter even, and Nixon was white as a lily compared with John Kennedy, thank you. But the liberal press won't let him paint it that way. Now, let me give you the particulars on why I say that. Nixon's sins were that he had a couple of men that hired some people to break into a Democratic headquarters and steal some strategy. And no big deal. In the Johnson administration, they had been doing this and bugging the Republicans and trying to get information from them. They've always done that. But it was a break-in. Nixon's sins were, according to the press, to the final judgment, that he didn't fire his own people for doing it. He didn't even know. It was never proven that he ever knew about it. But when he found out, he didn't do anything about it.
He wasn't legally obligated to do anything about it. He could say, let the courts take care of it. If they're guilty, let them exercise the judgment. Besides, the court trial wasn't through. Why should he? Besides, I don't really think that Kennedy or Johnson or any of those men would fire the top people for hiring somebody to try to break in somebody and get some strategy. I doubt that they would if nobody else knew about it. And that wasn't a great big sin. And for that, he was made the scum of the earth. To me, that Watergate is about that little. I've heard preachers, and well, how bad things are getting. Watergate. I say, Watergate? What are you talking about? Watergate? I mean, big things are happening out here. Terrible things are happening, but Watergate isn't one of them. Watergate's that deep. It's a little break-in. It's like getting a call. Wasn't any big deal. I felt, and this one thing I didn't like about him was his vindictive spirit and threw the filthy words out of his mouth. But, in private, on the tape. But John Kennedy, promised the American people before he became president that he would never have America disarm or stop atomic testing without the positive assurance of electronic black boxes in Russia to assure that they would do the same. And he reminded the American people of the many hundreds of laws the Soviets broke in Korea alone. And after he became president, he went exactly against his word, did what he promised us he would not do if he was elected. He stopped testing for 2 years and allowed Russia to catch up ahead and move up ahead of us. And then he dismantled the U.S. military another third. And in doing that, he pushed the balance from hill to hill to hill. And he put us in a terrible spot. And he cost us tens of billions in trying to catch back up again. And that's what the big fuss is right now. The liberals have continually pushed way over the budget for social reasons and said nothing. They have brought our industry, in the last 10 years, they brought our industry down, as starting a few years ago, they brought our industry down 50%. And they brought the social work up several 100%. We used to ship 45% of the world's goods in a merchant marine. 40%. 45, I guess. Now, since the liberals took over, we haven't shipped over 5%. You wonder why people are out of work? You wonder why we have the problems? It's not President Reagan, what's been done before that has put us in this place. They kept pushing the bubble, and now he sees he wants to put money ahead. See, Reagan wanted a balanced budget, which I want, which all of us want. And we should never have had anything but a balanced budget. Never. But all of a sudden he can't do it because we are threatened. What good is a balanced budget if you're taken over? And so he tries to get, you know, in wartime you always go way beyond your budget. He did in World War II, you always do that. Every war, every country does. And he's trying to put some money ahead right now to get the military caught up so we can be safe. So we can begin balancing the budget, and the liberals are fussing like crazy. If they get in, you know what they're going to do? They're going to go way over the budget for social programs, pull the military down, and say nothing. The second next thing he did, besides those two things, he allowed the Cuban invasion to flounder and allowed hundreds of men to die on the beach for a cause, and he promised them something he never gave them, and he then is responsible for their death. And he's responsible for Castro right now being down there. And he's responsible, therefore, for Angola and all those other places, and El Salvador and Grenada and the whole shebang that Cuba is pushing people out into and working down that area. Because what he did was take missile cases out of Cuba. I mean, he made Khrushchev take missile cases out when he took missiles out of Turkey. And the papers bribed him as a hero, and there was never any evidence that the Russians ever took any missiles out of Cuba whatsoever. And on the ships when they went out, and they were in the big missile cases, and then it was printed And our State Department told our Navy, which photographed it, don't stop them and check. Don't stop and check if missiles are in it. They were told, we're not checking you. It was an act of faith by our president. An act of faith. After the missile cases were out, the CIA told us the missiles were still there. The press told us absolutely nothing about him also taking out missiles in Turkey. That is not what we read. I never read that any place excepting in the spotlight. 6 years later, about, a little less perhaps, it came out an article in the Times after the fact that Turkey wants nuclear landmines between them and Russia to make up for the missiles that Kennedy took out in the agreement with Khrushchev. They took missile cases out, we took missiles out. Everything he did was to down the country and help the Soviets. And in the same period, they were weakening the FBI, weakening the CIA, making it such that you do not have to say you're a communist if you work in industry anymore and all this type of thing. See, I don't call that a good president. The people are so brainwashed, they do not know what's happening in their own country. And now we've got this big push on the day after. And everybody's scared to death and want us to get rid of missiles. I don't know why they're not scared to death and want Russia to get rid of missiles. I don't understand somebody thinking, you know, that if somebody's attacking you, throw your weapons away is the way to solve the problem. If you're big and tough enough, they'll leave you alone. And that's the only hope you got with those guys. And the Bible says, is telling us about this, through the peace shall destroy many. They're going to disarm the world on both sides, they're going to disarm. But there's going to be some kind of a multi-international peacekeeping force that has all the missiles and all this. And when everybody's disarmed, but this United Nations so-called, and that's been the worst thing I've ever had in this country, and I knew that when I was back in grade school, thanks to my father, when it was still the League of Nations, we knew that was wrong. And it's been nothing but harm to this country ever since. Every time that they're going to go have another meeting, I always groan inside and say, well, there goes some more. You never win. They are set. They look at everything only from one standpoint, and they're not going to do it unless they gain by it. And we're always so conciliatory and with faith. Every time there's another, I say, I hope that they never have another solid agreement. I hope they never have any agreement. They break every agreement. They cheat on everyone. We have caught them cheating. Our spy planes have caught them changing the serial numbers of planes that come out the factories and are put on train cars so we don't know how many they're producing. They're changing them. But our cameras are so good that when this is 009 is out there, and then next time we look at 009, it has some little different MOAs, we used to call it, Boeing Company, and revisions over here, and a little different cutout and something on the outside of the plane, and we say, that's not 009, that's a different airplane. They have always continued to do this type of thing, and they always will, because they're the devil. A pseudo-Christ, any missile agreement, you might as well mark it down, they're going to cheat on it. A pseudo-Christ rides a pseudo-colored horse. His horse is white and pure. He rides on truth and rightness, the world shall gleefully cry. When he comes in as their savior, he obtains the world, his kingdom by flatteries, the scripture says. But he's a charlatan deceiver, a false messiah, a mocker of true righteousness, a deceiver. And he's undoubtedly in the world right now alive someplace and will soon take a position of authority. And his harlot bride, and prophet's son, or of his father, the devil too. A white horse carries the Antichrist. A blood-red horse carries war. A black horse carries famine. A pale horse carries death. And God allows them power, but only over one-fourth of the earth. And God will choose the hemisphere for them to trample upon. For God is still at the helm of this universe.
The basic necessities of life are weighed out, each as a ration for those who can pay the inflationary prices, of a quart of wheat for a day's wages, a denarius. Not quite a quart for a day's wages. Or three quarts of barley that you would normally give to the animals for a day's wages. If you're not wealthy, you're going to have to go the barley route. The most you can get is three quarts for a day's wages. What else are you going to live on? But the oil and the wine are not to be affected. The price is high, but the rich can have their oil and their wine and have plenty. The economic bubble has burst. The United States is bankrupt. Europe is bankrupt. Russia is bankrupt. South America is bankrupt. Africa is bankrupt. But wait, monopoly players. Money doesn't vanish from the board. The gold is somewhere. Somebody owns Boardwalk and Park Place. Somebody's got all the property in the hotels that the rest of us are bankrupt on the board. They're talking about all nations going bankrupt. We are hundreds of trillions, or whatever, several trillion dollars in debt, whatever it is. We're a long ways in debt anyway. The ciphers are so many that who knows anymore. We're in debt. They're in debt. Everybody's in debt. But wait a minute. The gold is still here. Everybody's not in debt. All nations are not in debt. There's something wrong when all nations are in debt. If the kings with kingdoms have no more money, then the kings without kingdoms must have the money. And so they do. And so they have pooled their resources under Antichrist. Revelation 17:13. Finally, the 10 world kings without a kingdom now take their kingdom. The same verse. The banks, insurance companies, oil, gas, nuclear power, airlines, shipping, trains, coal, steel mills, conglomerates of manufacturers have been swallowed up in a giant monopoly. Now the rest of us, who own Baltic Avenue, we are going to have to tell them, because we won't be there then, we'll be up on the other shore, praise God. But the rest down here, we're going to say, well, we won't charge you for landing on Mediterranean Avenue. That's the last property we got left, Baltic and Mediterranean. If you'll forgive us our $20 debt, or if you'll loan us $100 so we can make one last round of the board, trying to skip all the big hotels if we can. That's what it's going to amount to. Servants they are, yea, slaves, doomed without hope. Verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. The sixth seal, I'm going to keep on reading. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge your blood upon them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given to every one of them, and was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until the fellow servants also and the brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as the sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven did fall into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. This was seen in the vision. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The sixth seal is open. We saw the four horses under the first four seals. We saw the souls under the altars who had been kicking up out of the great tribulation, the remnant of the seed, crying, how long, O Lord, are you going to let this go on? And then we see in the sixth seal these judgments. The sixth seal is open. Six objects of creation are affected. Seven classes of men are affected. That's all men. And the seventh seal, with seven trumpets, announcing the pouring out of the seven bowls of judgment, draws nigh. The souls of murdered saints cry for justice. Shh, Jesus says, rest now. Put on these white garments and enter the spirit realm. A little more time on earth, not much, just a space. I'm watching. You rest. I am about to pour out an earthquake such as man has never seen. And in a vision, John sees the sun withdraw its light, a moon turn blood red, and stars fall to the earth. Not comets, not meteors, but stars. But each star is bigger than the earth, by far. How can they all fall to the earth? They would shatter it to pieces. No matter. John and the ancients did not know that. John sees them in a vision fall to the earth. He doesn't see them as giants, probably, but he sees them fall in a shower to the earth. And he sees the heavens curl up like a piece of paper over a flame. The heavens roll up like a scroll. He sees it just roll up. And he sees every mountain and every island disappear. All is only a symbolical vision. The heavens pass away with a great noise, 1,003.5 years in the future, not this time. The sky is no flat band studded with stars anyway, but in the vision it was. What's happening? God is withdrawing his light. Darkness is upon the earth. See, the other was a vision. Now I'm telling you what was really happening. God's withdrawing his light. That's what his sun is. That's what his stars is. He shows this, what he's doing, by the falling and blanking out and so forth. He's withdrawing his light. Darkness is upon the earth. Even gross darkness on the people. The last of the saints are now in God's garner. That's why he's doing this. Because that by the end of the fifth seal, the saints are in. Except for the 144,000 first fruits of the earth for the millennium, for the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're not, but he seals them with a special seal to keep them here waiting for those to come on in with the rest and be the first fruits. Now only demonic light shines. That is gross darkness. The kingdoms of this world are shaken. God rolls up his help, and he walks out of the Earth Station maintenance building. He has kept it running for his saints. Now his saints are gone. He turns on Earth, and he punishes it. And who feels God's wrath? First, the kings, meaning the dictators and political rulers, who are responsible for their nations. Second, the princes, meaning those next in authority. The Greek is the greatest men, meaning the magnates, the statesmen, the diplomats, the advisors, the great men of the earth. Third, the commander of hosts, meaning the generals, those who command great hosts. The Greek has the third and fourth different than we have in our King James Bible. The fourth, the rich, merchants, business tycoons. Fifth, the strong. Soldiers of valor, men of physical strength. The Greek means of physical strength. Sixth, slaves. Seventh, free men. That's everybody. And those seven categories are everybody. The entire godless world is seized with fear. Their day is over. They are terror-stricken mortals under the hand of an unseen mighty God. Who's not supposed to be there, but he is. Hallelujah. Or who's not supposed to run a holy club for Christians only, but does. Or who isn't supposed to intervene in the lives of people on earth, but does. The prayers of the martyrs are being satisfied. The time when the will of the Lord shall be done on earth as it is in heaven draweth nigh.
I feel so
that I taught this class when I was asked to teach it at the beginning of this church. I went before the Lord when I came to this chapter. And I said, Lord, you've got to make these four horses live for me if I'm going to be able to really teach them like I know they should be taught. And as I knelt before the Lord prior to my class, the Lord gave me a vision and I saw those four horses come forth. And I saw darkness come on the streets of Seattle as if somebody had turned a switch and all of a sudden we were without electricity. And then I saw buildings begin to burn. And I heard the screams of people in the streets as they began to knife one another and as they turned on one another. And I saw how they began to go into the homes and go into the stores and begin to pilfer and to steal and how that they were so hungry that they did not care anymore. I'm telling you, there's coming a day, if you're still on this earth, that your neighbor is going to turn against you. And you're going to find yourself in the worst riots that you have ever imagined. I went to class weeping and weeping with this vision before me. And as I stood before the class, I was able to transport them in the spirit to that day that lies ahead of us on this earth. Oh, but we can be safe and secure. But in order to be so, we've got to be willing to let loose of this world. There's nothing in this world that is worth holding on to. Oh, my, one of these days, we're going to beg God to be able to give to His work. And He'll say, sleep on now. It's too late. It's too late now for you to dig in those closets and uncover those gold piles to give unto me. It's too late now. It's been turned over to the Antichrist. You've had your opportunity to win your last soul. You've had your opportunity to witness to your neighbor for the last time. Oh, let's make sure that we can sing this song from the depth of our heart. Now's the time to make the dedication. Now's the time to say, yes, Lord, I will secure my position in you so that I will not fear that day. Now, I don't know how much of this we're going to see before the Lord snatches us out, but I know in order to be snatched out, that we've got to be ready to endure it and strong to endure it. We've already have got to let loose of the world. If we don't, then I know we'll go through it for sure. Oh, let's be safe and secure in the love of Jesus, but in every area of our lives.
Man, I was headed for the microphone at the same time for the same kind of message. And as our brother continues to play, and as others would come perhaps around the front, I feel it's important that you understand that the way you get gospel hardened is to continue to hear the plea and the cry of God and then do nothing about it. And the more you say no, not now, or the more you throw it off, the more hardened you become. But every time a message comes forth from God through any vessel, if we will deal with our heart and take care of it before God, we will stay soft before the Lord. In fact, we'll become humbler and softer and more broken. And I plead with you, do not become gospel hardened. Don't allow excuses the devil gives you. Dinners, friends, and other things. Always take care of a message that is brought because it's brought for you and it's brought for you to do something with. And if you can't find anything to do because of the message, you must not have heard it right. You must not have heard it right. And it's important that you do something about it. The Bible does teach that we shall live under world government before the out-translation of the saints. And the Bible does teach that the Antichrist will occupy a position. He'll be revealed in a certain sense, even though his greater, more open revealing is later after the out-translation. Therefore, as our brother plays, Many of you may want need to come down and to make that decision before God on your knees or in your pews or someplace, and perhaps you don't need, perhaps you've already made all the decision that you need, and that's fine. But just make sure that you don't walk in carelessness. You've got to get your life in order. We have to walk with God. There should be nothing between us and the Savior. Now, before I dismiss the meeting, I just want to know one thing very quickly. Is there anyone here that would like to raise your hand and say, Pastor, I am unsaved. If Jesus would come at this moment, which he won't, but if he'd come at this moment, I would be lost. I'd be unsaved. I'm not ready to meet God. I've got to get my life in order. My life is a mess. I need to be saved. Would you raise your hand? Signifying that, now if you do, I'm going to ask you to come forward. We're going to take you to the back room and we're going to pray with you and help you. And in a short time, this day, but before the service is over, you can walk away with a peace in your heart. You can walk away knowing that you are a son of God. You can walk away with a load of sin off your back, feeling the weight go. You can have your spirit reborn. That's being born again of the new birth, begotten from above. All things passing away, and behold, all things become new. So you have a spirit now in line with him, so you can worship him, so you love him, so you want to worship him. So now you have an open door, and it'll cost you the world. You'll have to turn your back on all sin. If you're ready to pay the price and walk with God, then be man enough and woman enough to come down and stand right there in that big doorway, or right there in that big doorway. All the workers, be sensitive to meet him right there and pray with you. How many would like to raise your hand and say, yes, that's me, and I am ready to walk with God and have what you folks have. I'm going for the kingdom. I'm not going to live this messed up life in the power of sin any longer. I've messed my life up, and now I'm coming to God. Would you raise your hand high? There's one. God bless you. That's the smartest decision you've ever made in your entire life. All we have come the same way. We've all had to do the same. Anyone else wants to get in? Well, this one is smart enough to get in. Anybody else that's outside of the ark of safety? Maybe you're backslidden. You're not walking with God. Your heart condemns you. You can't praise the Lord. You've got no glory. You've lost the anointing. You want to come back to the Lord. Would you raise your hand? Last call. We must close the meeting. Is there one? Raise your hand. Wave it if there is. Is there one? If you have not raised your hand, and you should have, you still can stand right there. And they'll take you in, they'll pray for you. You can confess your sins before God and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and believe that he will cause you to be born again and bring you into the kingdom of God as a son of God in a new covenant. He will do a work in you besides what you do if you really mean business with God and are willing to sell out for him. God bless you. I want Steve Barter to come. We're going to pray for him right here. Elders, those that get some healing, would you meet us here? Also, those with needs for healing, if you'll just meet over there by the wall. We're going to be having a deliverance service in a couple of weeks concerning, we'll be announcing it maybe tonight, hopefully tonight, deliverance service, mass deliverance service, concerning people that are having trouble in insomnia and what's the other mania? I can't remember what it is. Distractions, spiritual distractions and mind control. These two areas. And so, and I know that's a whole lot of us. A lot of saints, a lot of the strongest workers here are getting pressure put on them. Pressure put on their minds by Satan. It's not a, doesn't that be embarrassing to you? The devil's pushed against my mind. He's pushed against others. And another day, I said, he's coming against my mind with a pressuring. And they prayed for me and it jumped on them and it was against their mind. But they can get off of them too. We're going to conquer this. But we've got to do something about this. I'll let you know when. Probably about 2 weeks on a Thursday night. God bless you. Steve Butter. Go right ahead.